Okay, welcome back. Happy to have you along. Hour number three. We're going to talk to Brother Nathaniel this hour. Hello there. Are you standing by? How are you?
I sure am standing by. Yes, sir.
Good. All right, you just got back.
I'm doing very well.
Good. You just got back from another trip, I understand. Where'd you go and how was it?
Oh, I went to Washington, D.C. to hold up the Holy Cross on the median strip of 9th and Pennsylvania. And on Constitution Boulevard in Pennsylvania.
Good job.
It went great. People kept on coming up to me and says, "You have become an iconic symbol here."
See, you're world famous. You know, you're world famous, not just Washington, D.C. You are now internationally known. You're an icon. You are truly a unique presence, and I think the world is better off for it.
Well, and the world is better off for Jeff Rentz, who put Brother Nathaniel on the map. I don't forget.
You're very kind.
I don't forget.
I know talent when I see it. Okay. Now, Brother Nathaniel has a new video out. I apologize because the link has one digit off. So what I'd like you to do, when you click on it, you're going to come up with his last video. The video we want you to watch, and that which I'm going to play in a couple of minutes here, is called "The Hate Police Are Coming." And if you go to Brother Nathaniel's site, realjewnews.com, realjewnews.com, you'll find it right there. The Hate Police Are Coming. So if you want to look at it later or refer it to somebody else, please grab it there. I'll have the link corrected here in a few hours, but for right now, it's got to stay the way it is. So, the Hate Police, what is the thrust of the video? What was the motivation for doing it? And how bad are things in your estimation?
Well, in my estimation, and I'm not the only one who's saying this, things are bad. The censorship is being ramped up every day.
Yes, it is.
And I think it's going to get worse because the Jews, who are the arbiters of what goes on the internet or what goes up on
It's their province. It's their country. It's their domain. They own the internet, basically. So they were very smart. They knew where this was all going. They set it up. They control all the major components of it, and if anything comes up that's new, they'll penetrate it and take it over, co-opt it in no time at all. The internet is a Zionist operation.
Well, I bring this out in this video, "The Hate Police Are Coming," that the Alternative for Germany Party, which was it came out specifically against all the mass immigration, but also for traditional values. And some areas that the Jews don't care for, like traditional values. Okay.
Right. And one of their first targets, morality and traditional values. They tear them right down.
That's right. So now a Jewish faction of the Alternative for Germany Party, the AfD, has formed. Oh yeah.
Oh, I didn't know this. Tell me more. This is interesting. Again, here's a potential power source, and what happens? They target it.
Okay, so they say, this mass immigration is bad. We don't want all these Muslims coming in. And let's ally with the state that's on the forefront against Muslim extremism and Muslim anti-Semitism. They floated together. Let's become comrade in arms together. And some of the AfD people are buying into that because some money is starting to float in, too.
Right, sure.
To the AfD party.
Uh-huh.
All right?
Uh-huh.
So now this Alternative for Germany is being co-opted. It's becoming a pro-Israel party. And that's how the Jews work. They're like chameleons. They'll change colors according to the setting. So what flavor of Jewish infiltration do you want? Do you want right-wing? Well, you got Breitbart.
Mm-hmm.
You want left-wing? Well, then you got Politico. All right, whatever it is, the Jews will infiltrate it and they'll take it over.
Especially
when they see it's a threat to their agenda.
Example, whatever happened to the Tea Party?
Oh, that's the same thing. Ron Paul started the Tea Party, and the Jews just hate Ron Paul, just hate him. The chemistry is just all wrong between Ron Paul and Jews. And he was the one that said, he was the first one that said, this non-intervention has got to stop. Let Israel solve their own problems. We don't have to be giving all this money to Israel. So he was a hands-off kind of a person. And the Jews didn't like that. So they floated this thing throughout the media when he was running for president twice. He's unelectable. This was the catchword for Ron Paul.
Sure. They hung that on him. No, they hung that on him like a millstone. Unelectable.
Yeah, right. So I'll never forget one day, and you know, I was hitchhiking after my street evangelism in the morning, and a fellow picked me up. He was very politically minded, and I said, well, what do you think of Ron Paul? He said, oh, he's unelectable. Okay, so there you have it.
Right.
Yeah, where did he
right.
get that? Where did he hear this? He's
right.
unelectable.
Right.
So this is, and two guys may be talking during a lunch break, and say, oh, who do you like for president? Well, I kind of like Ron Paul. The other guy says, yeah, he's kind of good, but he's unelectable. So this little catchword, this phrase word.
It gets into people's subconscious. They repeat it over and over again, and it actually takes up residence in people's minds. And they start to repeat it. It's just it's action-reaction. There's nothing new about it.
Well, this is what happened with this term hate speech, which was invented by the Anti-Defamation League, the official flagger, along with the SPLC of YouTube.
Right.
So they invented this term hate speech. Well, hate is a natural human emotion, okay? So if you say, I hate spaghetti, well, I guess that's all right. But if you say, I hate what Pelosi is all about, or you hate what Obama's all about, that's racist, oh, that's bigoted because he's black, you know, kind of a thing. So you almost can't say hate anymore unless you hate spaghetti. That's about it. So hate speech was invented by the Jews. And so now, like you say, it takes up residence in our consciousness. And when we're talking to somebody, we do what we call self-censorship. The Jews don't have to do it anymore. We self-censor ourselves because we're afraid, oh, if I say something like this, and I hated Obama.
Right.
Or,
all right, now let me ask you the obvious question.
I hate the genocidal state of Israel. You're anti-Semitic.
If you become, Brother Nathaniel, afraid to say something, what follows? You become afraid to think it. You don't even think about it. I can't say it, so you don't think it. And it begins to recede. It begins to recede in your consciousness until it's kind of an echo in the background. So when they block speech, they're blocking thought. You've got to remember that.
Yeah, that's profound. It really is, because all our speech begins with thought. It's formed in our thought life, and then it comes out in the utterance.
And if you are afraid to speak,
that's being blocked.
What happens? Yeah, exactly. You're afraid to think.
You're afraid to think it.
One follows the other.
And maybe that's why we're becoming so dumbed down that the IQ average has declined over the last two decades.
It's declined 7 points every generation since the end of World War II.
I didn't know it was that bad.
It is that bad. And we've got figure 3 generations, so 21 point. Let's just say 2. 14. 7 is 14. 14 points off average since the end of World War II. We were what? Let's say we were 110 at the end of World War II. Well, what are we right now? Right? It's obvious. We're 96. So
well, I think a lot
if
of
it's 3, then we're down. We're down even worse. Go ahead.
Well, people won't think for themselves anymore. They just go by what they saw on TV. For instance, I'm on the airplane, and a fellow asked me, sitting next to me, what church are you with? Oh, I said, I'm with the Russian Orthodox Church. He said, oh, really? Isn't that interesting? Did the people actually go to church there? I said, absolutely. They're going back in droves. Even Vladimir Putin is a very devout Orthodox Christian. He said, what are you talking about? He's gassing his own people.
Who said that?
He was a professional person sitting next to me.
Wow.
I said, he's gassing his own people. With what gas? Gazprom?
Oh, my.
Gazprom.
Oh, my. Yeah, yeah. Got it.
Yeah, got it. Right. So it's only by what they see on TV or what Fox News tells them. The Russophobia, and that's it. And they can't think for themselves. And how he couldn't think for himself. How could Putin be gassing his own people? Does he have chemical weapons there that he's using on his people? Well, he heard this about Bashar al-Assad, but he automatically transferred it to Putin because he's in the same boat, according to the Jew media. He's a dictator, like Assad.
Mm-hmm.
So Putin's also an evil dictator. The Russian regime, the Putin regime. Like, we don't have our own regimes here? So that's the problem. People don't think for themselves anymore. They only go by what's politically correct, what they hear.
Well, we can
news.
Take it a little further. They don't think anymore, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they think. We get the idea. They think. You know what I'm talking about.
Of course, they don't think deeply. Could he do anything? Can I critical thinking? Well, why would Putin want to gas his own people? Why would any leader want to gas his own people? He'd be hated by his own people.
Doesn't happen. These are all Zionist concocted lies. They're unfortunately very effective because they permeate the mainstream media, both in Europe and America. It doesn't matter. And when you repeat the same crap over and over again, it starts to get traction.
Yeah. That's exactly it. So we've got a problem, and I came up with this video. The hate police are coming. Because I saw, you know, as I was surfing the net, that this Jew from the Central Council of Jews in Germany, who actually get a stipend, they're partly subsidized by the German government, the Judea German government, that he says, well, okay, we got all these immigrants coming in, Muslims, and they've got to be sent to compulsory classes. Because they come from anti-Semitic countries, and they've learned to hate Israel, and we've got to teach them otherwise. We have to teach them democratic values. So I laughed at myself. Democratic values means that you're going to be pro-Israel. It's synonymous with being pro-Israel. He's going to teach them democratic values so they will no longer be anti-Israel or anti-Semitic.
Good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
But, you know, we were talking about the... Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to go to the video next, but go ahead, finish up.
Let me just bring this up. You know, the AfD is being now infiltrated by the Jews. But this is what happened to the...
This is Germany's only... Remember, this is Germany's only chance, the AfD, and the enemy is already moving in on it.
Yeah, well, the British National Party was Britain's only chance.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been totally co-opted by Jews.
Correct. Well, I've made this point so many times. Whatever it is, and you can go back to the Tea Party. Within 6 months, it had already been penetrated and was being taken down and remade. And it's gone now. Nobody even talks about it. It just doesn't exist.
Well, you're absolutely right, because the founder was Ron Paul.
Right.
He founded the Tea Party. And he's not involved in it one iota.
No. No. Hate speech, hate speech, hate speech, hate police are going to enforce the hate speech laws that are coming.
Okay, well, yes, because this Abraham Lehrer, the vice president of the Central Council of Jews in Germany, wants to have an anti-Semitic commission in every EU government.
Right.
With a head hate cop or a head commissioner, that all referrals of anti-Semitic speech, anti-Semitic incidents, anti-Semitic postings on social media would be reported to this special commissioner. And it would be disseminated throughout every department within the EU to crack down on that offender, that hate speech offender. That hater of mankind, no, that hater of Jews. Because if it's hate against blacks, if it's hate against Muslims, the Jews couldn't care less. But they use that to protect themselves. It's a shield, as if they really care about Muslims or blacks. They don't. Believe me, they don't. Because not a single Jew would be cut dead in a black neighborhood. I know that, growing up as a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
And if a Jew was poor enough and he fell into some kind of financial misfortune and had to move to Penn Hills, which was a black and white area, a lot of blacks were in government positions that were in Penn Hills, and they were able to buy a house for $120,000 or so.
Mm-hmm.
That man had to hide his head in shame because now he was living in Penn Hills.
Mm.
So they don't care about blacks. They call them Schwarzes and Schucks. I do. Oh, they were big NAACP supporters.
Well, look how they've treated blacks from Africa in Israel, all right? Those that they haven't evicted already, they're deporting all of them.
Yeah, well, the women, they thought they were getting vaccinated. They were being sterilized.
Mm-hmm, correct. Nobody talks about that. Nobody talks about it. You're right. It's accepted. Mm-hmm. It's accepted.
Go ahead.
Here's Brother Nathaniel's new video. The hate police are coming. In fact, they're already here. Here we go.
It's an idea whose time has really come. With anti-Semitism ever on the rise and hate speech lurking under everyone's tongue, what's an occupied, democratic Judeo-German society to do? Abraham Lehrer of the Central Council of Jews of Germany has the answer. Hate cops. In a recent interview, Lehrer laid out the plan because this thing is really getting out of hand. There must be a jolt through society, says Lehrer. And that jolt would be cattle prodded by a chief hate cop, a commissioner, heading up a ministry of speech, so to speak, where all referrals, according to Lehrer, of hatred of Jews would be disseminated within all EU government departments. It's an ambitious plan, but can it work? Menard Henri Lévy, that verbose French Jewish philosopher of all things Semitically correct, remonstrates that there's a new anti-Semitism which, under the cover of love, lurks a monster of hate.
My conviction is that the only way today to be seriously anti-Semitic. To be seriously anti-Semitic means to be anti-Semitic with the conviction that it is not only by a sort of wickedness, but that it is for a sort of good of general humanity, the only way relies and can only relies on three arguments. The new anti-Semitism of today, which is shaping itself since a few years or decades, says, number one, we hate the Jews. The Jews deserve to be hated, not because they are Jews, but because they are solidar, they are friendly with, they are supportive of a state which we are obliged to say that is a criminal state, illegitimate, having no right to be settled where it is, which is the state of Israel.
Funny how the dictionary defines a Semite as someone speaking a Semitic language, but anti-Semitism is defined as hostility toward or prejudice against Jews or Judaism, and only Jews. Now it's time for a new definition because the old one is worn out. This new anti-Semitism, meaning political criticism of the State of Israel, must be opposed, insists Lehrer. With anti-Zionist Muslims coming in, he says, and the growth of the Alternative for Germany AfD party, with its anti-Semitic sentiments in certain wings, authorities must be equipped to take action. Anon, he prescribes mandatory classes for Muslim immigrants to teach them democratic values so as to purge away any undemocratic anti-Zionist speech lurking under their lips. Then, to head off anti-Semitism at the pass, he urges that compulsory pilgrimages to Auschwitz for all German children be required by law.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It's not coercion, says
Total
Lehrer,
brainwashing.
Without blushing. Wow. It's a personal encounter with Jewish suffering. So let the kids, already suffering from Holocaust fatigue, suffer through it some more.
Why don't they take the German children to Dresden and show them what the British and the Americans did in 4 or 5 days to over 500,000 men, women, and children and wounded war veterans who were in a non-combatant city when the war was all but virtually over. Why don't we go there and look at 450 to 500,000 incinerated in the streets by American and British bombing? Let's look at something that is at least equal time to the supposed Holocaust. Back to the video.
Let's see what has to do with their own people.
That's right. Here, back to the video here.
Because, you know, only suffering counts. As for the AFD party, that's an easy one. Already a Jewish faction of the AFD has formed, pressing the party to join forces with Israel as comrades in arms, as part of a perceived struggle with the Muslim world. So if you can't beat them, join them. Take a lesson from the chameleon, which changes colors to suit its setting. Oh, the colors entice. But under the tints of red and blue lurks the agenda of a few.
Well, the crow knew.
At least right the crow knows what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's again, textbook. The AFD is being penetrated already and being approached with offers of let's work together against the evil Muslims. Never mind that organized international Bolshevism is behind the invasion of Europe by these very same Muslims. Never mind that they play both sides against the middle. That's what these people do.
Well, I'm glad you and I see it and all your listeners see it. So Jesus said the truth will make us free. So we know what's going on, but the majority of people do not.
No, they don't. And it's becoming harder for them to discern reality all the time. The chaos, the noise, the dissembling constantly of the narrative. It's very hard for people to follow. Hold on a minute. We'll be right back with Brother Nathaniel right after this. Welcome back, talking with Brother Nathaniel Kapner this third hour tonight. All right, what else is on your agenda? And if you'd like, we could play your other video, the one that you put out around the 31st? Anyway, right before the election.
Yeah, how to buy an election. But, you know,
does it still hold up after the election? Is it worth playing?
Oh, yeah, because it's about the Jews putting all their money into it.
I mean, put into it? Over $5 billion from all the ad agencies, all the consultants, all the campaign managers, many of whom, of course, were involved with international Zionism.
Oh, yeah. Well, the three major donors were Bloomberg.
Right.
And Soros and Steyer. Jews.
I read today that Steyer may actually run himself in 2020. He's very upset. He's thinking about running himself. He's a billionaire.
Yeah, well, he's a Jew, and he's jealous of Trump. He's just super jealous of him. So he started this thing, Impeach Trump.
Right.
And he started these town hall meetings where all kind of weirdos were attending because he wanted to be another Trump in front of people.
Right.
But he doesn't have it, okay? Whether you agree with Trump or not, he's got it. He knows how to put himself in front of a huge group of people and
right.
win them.
Mm-hmm.
He can have the meeting out of the palm of his hands, the way he talks.
Mm-hmm.
But this Steyer, nah, he doesn't have it. He's flat. But he's jealous. That's what it is. He's jealous of Trump. Envy.
Okay.
That's a big problem with Jews. They become envious because they want the limelight. They want to be able to be in control. And when some guy is in control, they don't like that.
If you're new to the program and you don't know much about Brother Nathaniel's background, he grew up in a Jewish household all the way as a Jew and then converted to Christianity as an adult.
I grew up in the synagogue. synagogue. I grew up in a B'nai B'rith enabled synagogue. Now, B'nai B'rith is the umbrella organization over the Anti-Defamation League. Our official flaggers for YouTube. And they flag hate speech. And what is hate speech? It's speech that Jews hate to hear. And I hate speech coming out of Jews. How about that?
See that? Okay, that's your right to do. All right.
It is my right to do. But, you know, it's something that came to my mind while we were talking, Jeff, and you kind of prompted it. You know, this idea of the commissioners, all right?
Yeah.
That this lehrer wants, all right? What do you want to call them, special envoys, which we'll have in America eventually, because we have a special anti-Semite envoy in the U.S. State Department.
Right.
And eventually what we're going to have is, like Canada has their human rights tribunals. So we'll eventually have anti-Semitism tribunals. Watch for it. It's going to come.
I'm afraid you're right. Yeah. Remember right now, Google has a top-level committee of Jews that determine for Google what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. And this committee is largely responsible for a great deal of the censorship that is going on as we speak.
Well, the problem is we are talking about people just don't know what's going on. But if they want to try to find out what's going on, they're pretty hard-pressed to do that because Google, all right, has deranked and detitled all kind of informational sites.
Right.
Here's a for instance, okay? I wanted to see David Duke's website this morning, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I thought this is an easy one. So I typed in on the Google browser, David Duke. Do you think his site came up, Jeff? No way.
Not even under his own name search?
No, not even under his own name. Just all kind of negative things about him, mm-hmm. and it's the David Duke videos, and all these videos were anti-David Duke.
Mm-hmm.
Videos that people made against David Duke, not a single one of his videos.
Got it.
So I had to actually type in David Duke website, and it was on the second page. It wasn't on the first page.
Right.
So if you want to find out something that's going on, and David Duke is he has a doctorate. He's a knowledgeable person.
He's an historian, very well educated, and all of his videos, which apparently had in aggregate over 1 billion views. That was the last count that he made. His videos were so extraordinary because as an historian, as a journalist, he would only quote the people he was talking about. He wouldn't make up opinion, throw it around. He would quote them and in a real sense show exactly by their own words what they were saying and doing.
I know. It was 100% journalism.
Right.
You know, where I put my input into it.
Oh, you're doing commentary. That's different. David didn't do commentary. He was very careful about that.
But he's not the only one. You know, Ron Ahns, who's a very knowledgeable man, he once ran for congressman in California.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. You want to go to Ron Ahns' website, and for people to even know who Ron Ahns is, it's not there. I mean, they totally detitled and deranked his site, which is excellent because he has specialty articles on there. It's not like Rents News. He has specialty essays on it. Phil Giraldi's on there. But how many people have ever heard of Phil Giraldi, who comes up with new articles almost every other day? You're not going to find it on Google. You might find it on Bing. But I think maybe the Jews have started getting to Bing now. Telling them, hey, boys, you know, there's some anti-Semitic stuff. There's some hate speech going on here. Truth that Jews hate to hear. They don't want to hear the truth about themselves, about all their crimes that they're doing. Not too many misdemeanors. They're mainly crimes.
Okay.
So that's what we have. But you mentioned that the Bolsheviks have funded all this. The Bolshevik Jews have funded all this mass immigration. It made me think of this idea that a commissioner that Abraham Lehrer wants. But, you know, think of the kinder, gentler Bolshevik political officer that hated Soviet Commissar. All right, that's what's coming. This kinder, gentler Soviet Commissar that's going to put a gag in your mouth and maybe fine you and maybe throw you in prison.
There's a woman, I don't know if you know about this, Jackie Rosen, a one-term congresswoman from Nevada, I believe Clark County, She just won the Senate seat that was up in Nevada. She beat a fellow named Heller, another Jew. So Jackie Rosen, as a congresswoman, was ranting and raving that she wanted prison sentences for anyone criticizing Israel or participating in the BDS boycott program of Israel in protest over their inhuman persecution, be kind, about genocide of the Palestinian people. She wants prison for anyone questioning or criticizing Israel or participating in BDS. This woman is now a senator. Watch her take the lead. She will become probably the biggest mouthpiece, certainly in the Senate, for organized international Bolshevism in this country. Just watch.
Yeah, B'nai B'rith Judaism, and that's the kind of synagogue I grew up in.
Yeah. Well, there you go. All right, let's listen to Brother Nathaniel.
All right, we'll talk about that. Go ahead, Jeff.
You want to hear it now? What'd you say? Finish your thought about your father. Go ahead.
Yeah, my father used to take me to the B'nai B'rith meetings after Sabbath services, okay? And all the high-powered Jews in there, well, back then in the 50s and 60s, a $500 suit was equivalent to like a $5,000 suit now, okay? You know, in their fancy suits, they'd be sitting around talking about who's going to run for mayor, who's running for governor, who's running for senator, and which one was not good for America. Which one would be good for the Jews? I heard this growing up, Jeff. And I was a different kind of a Jewish kid. I wasn't good at math, all right? And I hated it. Hmm. I didn't like it as a Jewish kid. But I didn't say anything. I just took it all in, and it's all come out now. It all came out in 2007. I said, that's it. The gig's up. I'm going to expose these people. When I saw that statue of two lesbians holding hands in Union Square Park in New York, I said, that's it. And it was funded by the ACLU Jews, George Soros, that's it. I am going to expose these people, and I'm going to let them know who really murdered 50 million Russian Orthodox Christians, Jews, the Bolsheviks.
Who weren't even Russian to begin with. They were imports.
Exactly.
They were sent in.
Well, most of the LGBTQ people, whatever Q means, I still know what it means.
Queer.
Are imports from Europe. They have come into Russia and taken apartments here and there, and they started this movement, and they tried to organize these homosexual sodomy parades, and they got locked up. It's illegal. It's not allowed. Good.
All right.
Lock them up.
Very good. Okay, here's Brother Nathaniel's pre-election video. This is another good one. How to buy an election.
How many billionaires does it take to buy a government? Just three, says Kevin McCarthy, the House Majority Leader. And why should money moguls have the power to seize our constitutionally established Congress? Because money glazes over high crimes and misdemeanors with a honey-dip brush.
For the longest time, the Democrats tried to say they were the party of the American worker. And yet, when you look at the donations from individuals into the Republican Party, you are beating the Democrats in that regard, but they've got a handful of big, deep-pocketed donors like a Michael Bloomberg, like a Tom Steyer.
Just think the three individuals who are funding the Democratic Party. George Soros. You've got Michael Bloomberg. It's not just $80 million into the House. He put another $20 million to try to win the Senate. Then Tom Steyer's. More than $120 million he has spent trying to win. But his main goal is trying to impeach President Trump. He brags that his impeachment list is bigger than the NRA list. Those three individuals are trying to buy our government in this process. It's very disturbing.
Soros, Bloomberg, Steyer. Sounds like a law firm that will ransack the Constitution and fleece a nation out of its last dime. Buy the House, and they buy the government's pocketbook and spend it for their own game. And just what is their game? Soros is all about opening up societies where caravans of illegals transvestites and cross-dressers, and abortions on demand will wrench open a closed society of traditional values and throw it into a hellhole that even a Fellini flick could never depict. And what's Bloomberg's gig? It's all about gun control and stripping the c**ks of their last defense against government tyranny, of which he wants to be the chief tyrant.
It sounds like in your description on the climate front, you see a real vacuum of leadership. Do you see that on some of these other issues that you have been quite active on?
Well, I think there's no leadership on keeping guns out of the hands of criminals, minors, and people with psychiatric problems, which this country should be ashamed we're not doing. I think the
And who is around to determine what a psychiatric problem is or isn't? How about Jewish psychologists and psychiatrists?
Oh, there's tons of them.
You bet.
Just tons.
An amendment gives you the right, and I'm happy it does, I suppose, that we have the right to bear arms.
He who hesitates is pretending. We either have a Bill of Rights or we don't. There's no suppose. And Steyer's stunt? He's just a regular kind of guy, a mass millionaire who shows up at town hall meetings.
Without further delay, it's my pleasure to introduce to you Tom Steyer.
So, back on October 20th, the very first day we launched our petition, six people from Lansing signed on to impeach the president. The American people definitely were sending a message. That message was, we're not being hurt. And that message is really what we're talking about today. Returning power to the American people.
My name is Heather Ryan from Des Moines, Iowa, and I believe that Donald Trump needs to be impeached because he's treasonous, and that's the reason enough.
My name's John West. I think we need to impeach the president. We need a leader who does not lie.
I'm Tony Davis from Des Moines, Iowa. I'm here because Donald Trump should be impeached because they don't call him Don the Con for nothing.
Don the Con? Leaders who don't lie? Come on, Steyer. Are those the best lines you can feed them? But like his big bucks buddies, he's got no positive thrust.
Well, Democrats' chances of winning back the House appear to be growing, if that actually happens. There's a chance that they may move to impeach President Trump. But one man, a billionaire investor named Tom Steyer, he doesn't want to wait. He's already started a full-fledged war to get President Trump out the White House. Bloomberg Businessweek's Max Abelson wrote a profile of Steyer, and he joins me now. Okay, I want to start off. If you can just explain to folks who don't know him, who is he?
Of course. So the answer is interesting. I mean, he's like a classic Wall Street guy. Started at Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley. Then he had a hedge fund. And not just like a small hedge fund. I mean, truly one of the biggest hedge funds in the world. He became a finance billionaire. But he kind of had like a reawakening. First, he became an environmentalist. And then, honestly, he basically had a second reawakening about 6 months ago. And he turned into this American political figure. I mean, you might recognize his face from TV. He's basically funding an ad campaign to impeach Donald Trump.
Oh, you do?
The young man doing the commentary here is also, coincidentally, Jewish.
Oh, I mean, what a coincidence.
It's very surprising.
Out on television a lot. But you know, Max, what really sort of was surprising to me, according to disclosed donations, Steyer actually spent more than the Koch brothers, than Sheldon Adelson, Robert Mercer during the last two elections.
Gee, the Koch brothers, Sheldon Adelson, the Mercers.
Cycles. How is that possible? What do you make of that?
That's absolutely right. Well, just it's important to keep in mind that there's also dark money. There's donations that billionaires make that we just can't see because it's dark. But when it comes to disclosed donations, and there are a lot of them, Tom Steyer is the biggest donor in America in 2014, 2016, and he might be the biggest donor again in 2018. And that's because he's spending so much money on impeachment, and he's also spending a lot of money to bring millennials to voting booths in November. The thing about it is, though, he doesn't like see himself as like just another billionaire cutting checks, you know, to buy influence. Mm-hmm. He sort of sees himself, and part of what our business story is about, a Business Week story, is he sees himself as like this leader of a movement. He thinks he's, you know, he thinks America is in this crisis, this cosmic crisis, and he's kind of the man who can help save the day.
If Steyer says, or Soros, or Bloomberg says, then I say, put your money where your mouth is. Let's shackle the money moguls with campaign finance reform with restrictions and caps that will purge their dark money by full disclosure for every dollar spent. That way their deep pockets will only be deep enough to fit in their mouths. Talk about election meddling. Remember the song, Money Can't Buy Me Love? Well, they'll give all they've got to give, and the Dems will love them too. They sure have a lot to give, but what they got won't go to you. Instead, their bucks will buy a republic whose constitutionally enacted democratic process will shrink into the agenda of a...
Well, well written. Well done. Good job.
You know, I figured this out the other day. If Soros and Steyer and all the billionaires, okay, Jew billionaires, devoted this waste of campaign money to building maybe some detached or semi-detached homes for the homeless, okay? Mm-hmm. Particularly for homeless disabled vets, mm-hmm. all right?
Yeah.
And that would at an average cost of $200,000 per home. They could feasibly provide homes for 28,000 homeless people, all right?
There are even less expensive ways to do it than that, but you know, understood.
Yeah. So that's what we have here.
Here we are. Brother Nathaniel.
Goes out to the highest bidder. Who are the highest bidders? Jeez.
Right. When you think about it, though, seriously, Trump was talking about, we're going to put tents all over the place. We're going to build a tent city for 15 or 20,000. Why can't he build tent city for veterans? Why can't each state governor set aside money for tent cities for the homeless? They can't do it. They won't do it. It's not politically needed. They just ignore it.
Yeah, well, I guess it doesn't rouse the people to give them votes.
And never mind, you're putting Somalians, Middle Eastern Arabs in townhouses, apartment buildings, all kinds of living quarters all over the country, giving them lifetime Social Security benefits, American passports, food, medical, dental, education, transportation, spending money. They get the best this country has while Americans go without. What's wrong with that picture beside everything?
Yeah, well, what's wrong with the whole picture here in America? And I just saw that these wildfires now, this terrible wildfire in northeastern California.
Yeah, Paradise.
I think we're going to see more natural disasters, Jeff.
Oh, sure.
Mother Nature will have...
We're already in a drought. We're into November. We have had no rain in the Northwest to speak of. And it's dry. It's so dry, we have a raging inferno in Northern California now. Paradise. Which is not far from the big fire in Redding, by the way. Not too far. So, yes, everything is dry. We're back in a drought situation. It's clearly being managed. And you'll have to watch and see. Will we get any rain this winter? It's really up in the air. We need 25 inches. We might get 6 or 8, maybe. We'll see. But yes, drought city, wildfires in November, huge fires. And many of you have already seen the footage on your newscasts, I'm sure. But this is not supposed to be the way it is. Theoretically, September is the first month when we begin to get rains, but not this year. Not in September, not in October. And here we are, November 8th already, and nothing.
Well, where I live, near Canada, in the northern part of...
You're getting a little bit up there.
Oh, we're getting a lot. Sure.
Yeah, well, it's skirting us. It's moving right across the northern tier, and that's where you are. All right, my friend, thank you. Great to have you on the program again, as always. Continue the good work, exercising your First Amendment freedoms, and hopefully yes, inspiring others to do the very same thing.
Well, Rents.com does it. A big inspiration.
Thank you.
Really wanted to get some truth out.
Thank you, Brother Nathaniel. You take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. God bless you.
Okay. One of a kind. A man who really does stick his neck out, put his life on the line all the time to push his values of free speech, of ethics, morality, and kindness. All right, that's our program tonight. Be back tomorrow, Friday, already the end of a week. Have a good night. Have a fine day tomorrow. Take good care of yourselves, and we'll talk tomorrow.